You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, July the 4th. And the other Morris twin joining the Pistons. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening and thanks for spreading the word about the podcast. This summer, as we are enjoying the sunshine, enjoying the holiday weekend here in Michigan, what a lovely place to be and a lovely time to be alive in some ways, I guess. But today we are going to catch up with who's left in free agency after another day of moves, a couple moves, nothing too notable, but nothing from Kawhi Leonard still, although maybe news will break at any minute as we record this early on Thursday afternoon. But we're going to talk about the newest Piston as well, Markieff Morris. I already typed Marcus a couple times on my notes for this show, so that should be fun throughout the season. But we're also going to talk about what we're looking at in terms of summer league later on. That starts Friday, so we'll get some Pistons basketball on Friday, 3 o'clock from Las Vegas. So we'll tell you some things to watch for there. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook, Locked On Pistons Matt Shook. But for the latest takes on NBA free agency, follow all of the Locked On Podcast Network hosts on one Twitter feed at Locked On NBA Net. An awesome way to get all the latest opinions from the local experts during NBA free agency. Again, that handle is Locked On NBA Net, just as it sounds. But one more plug to give out. If you are a mid-Michigan basketball fan, go up and check out Moneyball. I'm sure if you're a Spartan fan, you know all about it already. But some fun stuff, some good pickup hoops involving some notable college basketball players in the state of Michigan, including pretty much all the Spartans that are healthy go up there. Sometimes they don't show up, so it's hard to kind of know, but it's a free event in Diamonddale at the Aim High Sports Complex there. So get my seal of approval, so you want to check that one out as well. But a couple of Michigan players are there this year, including Xavier Simpson, although I don't think he's shown up yet. He's on one of the rosters. Adrian Nunez and Isaiah Livers were both there on Tuesday representing the Wolverines, and they just kind of play some pickup hoops, basically. They're assigned a team, so a pickup is probably a little bit shunning what the seriousness of it or whatever, but it's still most like an all-star game run. But a lot of small college guys trying to show their worth against some of the big boys, and it's a pretty fun thing. But anyway, Pistons got Markieff Morris on the two-year maximum of the biannual exception, it sounds like, from what's been reported. So $3.6 million per season. So Markieff Morris joined the Pistons just like his brother Marcus did a couple years back when he was with the team in a trade from Phoenix and then ended up being traded to Boston, where his career has kind of taken off. And we'll talk about Markieff a little bit more. But my first take from this was that, wow, bringing in kind of spending your best available cap money, your best available asset in terms of dollars available, instead of going with the backup center, you kind of go with that power forward that Markieff Morris is. To me, that spells trouble for what the organization believes it can expect to get from Thon Maker this upcoming season. And if we're being honest about Thon Maker, I know there's a lot of memes on Reddit about him, and it's fun to project what could be with him. Man, I don't know if we're going to see a long and very good career out of Thon Maker. And maybe we're just jumping those two of those opinions a little bit quick. And certainly you want to give them some minutes this year and see how things go. But such an unorthodox shot. I don't know if that ever straightens out in any kind of consistent way. The effort and the energy are great, but they only take you so far. And we'll see. You know, so my assessment is that that's what the Pistons may believe. They might already kind of be halfway out the door on him as he approaches restricted free agency this upcoming season. But a lot riding on Thon Maker's season, and not a great start to it with some minutes being trimmed away by the Markieff Morris signing. So we'll see how that goes. But in terms of that backup center position, like we talked about, some players that are still out there: DeMarcus Cousins, JaVale McGee, Tyson Chandler, Joakim Noah, Pau Gasol, Nene, and then some former friends, Amir Johnson, Greg Monroe, Eric Moreland, still out there. You'd think that the Pistons are going to use their final roster spot and their veteran minimum to grab one of these guys, because there are minutes available behind Andre Drummond in the rotation, the Zaza Pachulia minutes from last year. Now, is there a chance that Blake Griffin, Markieff Morris, and or Thon Maker all participate in some small ball 5 minutes? Sure, absolutely. And that will happen for some of those guys at times, but I don't know if any of those guys you want to be relying on as guys that can be every night options as a five during the season. Certainly not Thon. We've seen it at, you know, saw it at times last year, and it doesn't look like something's going to work, especially with his frail body. He needs to put on pounds, and to some extent that's not going to happen to a level that you would hope for as a team, as an organization. Maybe Markieff Morris, being, you know, a little bit more broad, a little bit more, you know, solid of a player, can handle some of those minutes a little bit better, especially if Markieff and someone like Blake Griffin get on the defensive glass and get on the rebounding responsibilities. But man, to me, you need one of these guys as far as, and again, DeMarcus Cousins is probably certainly not a minimum level player. JaVale McGee, I would say the same thing about. But the rest of the guys on the list, Tyson Chandler, Joakim Noah, Pau Gasol, Nene, Amir Johnson, Greg Monroe, Eric Morland, you'd like to think that maybe one of these guys will end up in training camp when all is said and done. But around the league, again, everyone's waiting on Kawhi. It could happen at any time. The Clippers, the Raptors, the Lakers, I'm not going to make any choices. I'm not going to make any predictions on this show, because predicting Kawhi Leonard is a futile exercise, in my opinion. But anyway, things that did happen on Wednesday: Jake Layman of Portland headed to Minnesota in a sign-and-trade, and the one with biggest local implications is that the Grizzlies trading Kyle Korver and Javon Carter to the Suns for D'Anthony Melton, Josh Jackson, a 2020 second-round pick, and a 2021 conditional second-round pick. So Josh Jackson of Detroit getting shipped out of Phoenix so that the Suns could get their hands on that Ricky Rubio deal, which will finalize on Saturday, along with all the other NBA deals that were agreed upon in this free agency period. So Josh Jackson heading to Memphis to be teammates with Jaren Jackson Jr. of Michigan State there as well, along with Ja Morant and the young players that the Grizzlies are putting together. And yes, this is an indication that Phoenix was just as sour on Josh Jackson as we were on the Locked On Pistons podcast when we were offered a trade package involving Josh Jackson. So we kind of read between the lines there, and obviously not very impressive from on-court. A guy that I was not high on going into the draft. We got pick number 4 by Phoenix there, so like to pat myself on the back for that one. Just didn't like what you saw from Josh Jackson on the court, nor what you heard from the camp and everything that was known about him around here in Detroit and everything like that. So, but we'll see. He's got a chance. He's obviously a very talented guy, and we'll see if he's able to get his career going in Memphis, and it will be interesting to see. Certainly, some guys just kind of need that change of scenario, or change of scenery, sorry, and can thrive in a new place. But up next, speaking of new places, we're going to talk some more about Markieff Morris, the other twin, here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we will talk about the Summer League team and what we're expecting to see from Sean Sweeney coaching the Detroit Pistons in Las Vegas starting on Friday. But when you are driving to work or from work or around town, all you have to do is tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons, and we'll be right there for you with the drive, riding shotgun as you patrol your way throughout your daily life. But the biggest news of the Pistons' day in the last 24 hours is the signing of Markieff Morris, the other Morris twin. The Pistons had Marcus Morris for a couple years there, and now they get his twin brother. They both attended Kansas together and were picked. Actually, Markieff went one pick before Marcus Morris in the 2011 NBA draft. So Phoenix goes 13 with Markieff, and then Marcus goes 14 after that. Both brothers now 29 years old, so what they should be kind of approaching their primes. And Marcus, after he was traded from the Pistons to the Boston Celtics, really thrived under Brad Stevens, and he's one of the more sought-after free agents on the market this year. And there was, you know, always some of the rumors and belief that the Morris twins would end up on the same team as they, you know, enjoyed their time together playing in Phoenix before Marcus was dealt to the Pistons. But from all indications that there's really no pathway for Marcus Morris coming to the Pistons unless he decides to take a minimum contract, or there's a Pistons trade in the meantime to shake up some room somehow. Or from the Pistons' perspective, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense in terms of the depth issues that they have more in the front court, or more in the center position specifically. So although if you're going to have a player like Marcus Morris come in and decide to take a minimum contract, you probably would say yes. But more about Markieff Just a little bit less of a perimeter threat than Marcus throughout his career, more of an interior player, interior defender type, but still someone who's shown that he's capable of knocking down threes, nowhere near the 40% that Marcus has hovered in at times. A career 33.8% shooter from three-point land. Last season, he was at 33.5, so pretty much right on that mark that he had. He had a neck injury throughout most of last year, so last year wasn't one of his better seasons. He was with the Washington Wizards for the beginning of the year, as he was for the past 2.5 seasons before that, and was traded kind of in a salary dump. And remember that the John Wall injury in Washington and everything kind of dissolved and devolved there in Washington, so they waived him actually to clear their cap, to clear their books of the contract. And he was traded to New Orleans and then waived by the Pelicans. The Pelicans, as they were basically tanking, had no interest in playing Markieff Morris. I'm going to say that. We're going to mess that up all the time, by the way. Just you're warned that there's going to be some slip-ups, but we're talking about Markieff Morris here. But ended up being picked up by the Oklahoma City Thunder and played 24 games for them this past season, 16 minutes a game. Scored 6.5 points a game, which was the lowest output that he had for any team over any season of his career. But like I said, was battling a neck injury throughout much of the season, which led me to believe that this was a guy that was probably going to be a minimum contract. And it actually surprised me a little bit that the Pistons were able and willing to offer a two-year deal to Markieff Morris for the full biannual exception. I felt that he was maybe a one-year deal at that kind of dollar amount, 3.6, or if you were going to give the guarantee of a two-year contract, then maybe you would be able to secure him for the minimum salary there. So a little bit of a surprise to me in terms of his value, but there's a little bit of opportunity there for the Pistons in that you're taking a guy who throughout his career up until this past last half of last season is someone who would have commanded more money than that biannual exception on the free agent market. So assuming that he, at 29 years old, is able to rehab fully this offseason, bounce back with strong performances like he did throughout, starting in 2013, his third NBA season, all the way up until the season before last season, so 2017-18, when he was just a strong contributor for teams that mattered in the Washington Wizards, playoff teams. He averaged a career-high 15.3 points per game in his final full season with the Phoenix Suns, and just as close back as 2016-17, full season with Washington, scored 14 points a game, grabbed 6.5 rebounds. So as a guy can contribute under the basket, and that toughness, that grittiness that we know Marcus Morris brought to the Pistons back during his stint with Detroit, Markieff's going to bring that too, maybe even a little bit more so. Kind of a feared player around the league who's someone you don't want to mess with, and that's going to play well in Detroit. I think the Morris twins are guys that were made for Detroit in a lot of ways, and it's something that we've talked about with this team, this Pistons franchise in the past, is that aversion to toughness at times. The Stan Van Gundy era, getting a little cute with some of their draft picks and free agent selections. And sometimes we just, get the toughest guy who's obviously skilled enough to be a contributor on your team and build around that kind of culture. Dwayne Casey's going to like this guy, and hopefully he's able to knock down enough shots to get the minutes. And like I said, the big question is Thon Maker. What does this mean for his career? What does this mean about the Pistons' belief in him? Do you see them offering the qualifying offer to Thon Maker down the road? Where does Maker and Morris's minutes line up? And another question that brings up is how much are the Pistons going to manage Blake Griffin's minutes this upcoming season? They got burned last year. And again, not to say that Blake Griffin's knee injury was the direct result of not managing his minutes more throughout the season. Injuries are going to happen sometimes regardless of how much you manage minutes. I don't know if that was an accumulation effect on the injury. Certainly it doesn't help, and certainly it couldn't be a positive thing for him to be playing more minutes and not sitting out games throughout the rest of the season. And then we saw what happened to him at the end of the year. But, I would imagine that the organization and Dwayne Casey's coaching staff in year two of their coaching of Blake Griffin in Detroit are probably going to find more back-to-backs to sit down Blake, are probably going to manage those minutes a little bit more, and Markieff Morris coming in certainly allows them to do that. Now, I got mixed emotions on if they are managing his minutes more this upcoming season in terms of Blake Griffin. What does that mean about the coaching staff? Were they not aware that load management was something that they should have been doing in their first season with Blake Griffin in Detroit? Because that would be, I mean, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, if Dwayne Casey. Because I do believe that they should be managing the minutes more, should be sitting them out games. We talked about that ad nauseum on this podcast all of last year. But if you're Dwayne Casey and you stick to the theories and plans that you had last year, again, you might be causing more harm to Blake Griffin in year two. And you could throw Reggie Jackson into this group as well, although you don't have the long-term financial commitment to Reggie Jackson. So it's a little bit less important to the overall health of the organization and franchise. But yeah, if you kind of stay on that same path, at least Dwayne Casey and his staff would be sticking to those principles in terms of throwing the best lineup that they can out there every night. And I think that's the harmful thing and the wrong thing to do. But if they change course completely and start managing his minutes and sitting him out a lot more in this second season, what does that say about what they did all of last year? And again, I'm all for guys learning and adapting and kind of getting with the times as far as the modern NBA and how things go in this league. But man, that just shows that you whiffed and took a swing and a miss on year one, and it ended up costing the Pistons certainly any kind of chance of competing or winning a playoff game with Blake Griffin missing out those first two games in Milwaukee, and then not being as effective as he could have been where he were at full strength in those last two games in Detroit as well. So, you know, it's a tough question. You're kind of, like I said, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, if you're Dwayne Casey going forward. But I got a hunch, and from Vince Ellis's article in the Free Press Thursday, he's of the belief that Griffin's minutes will be managed a little bit more. And again, I agree with that decision, and I think that'd be the right move. And I expect that is probably what will happen here in year two of Dwayne Casey's time in Detroit. But up next, we're going to talk about Summer League. That starts on Friday at 3 o'clock in Las Vegas. We'll talk about what we're looking for there. But that's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. And just a little programming note, yes, this will be our last show of the week. We're going to skip Friday for the holiday, but we'll be back on Monday with a recap of how Summer League's going. We'll be two games in the book at that point there, but looking forward to it. I'm actually excited to watch some Summer League hoops. I bet you guys are too. If you're listening to this podcast on the 4th of July holiday weekend, you're probably a pretty big hoops head and ready to see some more Detroit Pistons basketball. So the opener will be Friday against Team Croatia at 3 o'clock. That's actually the first game of the Las Vegas Summer League, and Sean Sweeney will take the Pistons into battle in that one. The Croatians and the Chinese are the two teams that make it a 32-team league here in Summer League, along with, of course, all the 30 NBA rosters. I think this is the second year that every NBA team is in Las Vegas. They've tried to make this into a bigger event, and they've kept a couple of the smaller ones which have happened over this past week in California and Utah, but they've canceled the Orlando Summer League, and it's just kind of all focusing on Las Vegas at this point. I've never been there, and maybe you guys have, or maybe you guys will consider. It's kind of like a hoop nerd's heaven, I would imagine, although the weather in Las Vegas in July is probably not something that I'm completely interested in. But yes, Croatia is one of the better, you know, national teams out there. When they're at full strength, they have guys like Dario Saric, Bojan Bogdanovic, and Mario Hezonja of the NBA. However, those guys are not playing in the Summer League for Croatia. One of the names that you might recognize if you're a college basketball guy is Antonio Vrankovic, who played for Duke last year and was undrafted in the NBA. So he's kind of maybe going to be the top player for them. But it's a game that the Pistons probably should win, you would think, given that we're not talking about NBA guys on the other roster. And the Pistons really, although I saw that they're only like 25-1 odds to win Las Vegas Summer League, which is, everyone's making the joke that you got to be some kind of a degenerate to be gambling on Summer League games. But hey, 25-1 on the Pistons. I'm not saying this is a team that's definitely going to win, or I'm predicting it or anything like that. But as far as a value bet, you could do a lot worse than this team that will have some established veterans trying to take their games to the next level, and then some intriguing rookies trying to show their stuff as well. But there's other good players and good teams out there in Summer League. And starting, Pistons will see that in the second half of a back-to-back on Saturday afternoon against Portland at 3:30. Pretty much all matinees for the Pistons. Maybe NBA is thinking that the Pistons aren't really a ratings monster, as you might expect. But Anfernee Simons kind of headlines that group, kind of a teenager that was picked at the end of the first round last year. A lot of hype about this guy right now, and we'll see what all the hype is about with his development. as the Pistons will take him on Saturday afternoon. Former Pistons two-way player Isaiah Whitehead is with the Trailblazers, as well as Nasir Little of North Carolina, who the Pistons passed over in the draft, along with everyone else as he slid to the bottom of the first round as well. Pistons will have a day off on Sunday where I can hopefully catch up and watch the games, as I don't think I'll be watching them live, but I'll be following you guys' tweets throughout the weekend. But then on Monday, like I said, we'll do a show on Monday morning. But then Monday, the Pistons will take on the Pacers at 5 o'clock. The Pacers will feature Aaron Holiday, first-rounder from last year out of UCLA, and also Brian Bowen of Saginaw, an undrafted guy who was picked up by the Pacers after the draft, and then Goga Batadze, this year's first-round draft for them, who the Pistons skipped over at 15 in favor of Sekou Doumbouya. So we got the Pacers on Monday in a Central Division matchup there. Game day off on Tuesday, and then closing the regular season portion of the Summer League schedule on Wednesday against the Philadelphia 76ers at 3 o'clock. Philly, kind of interesting. They've got Matisse Thybulle, their first-round pick from this year that they had to trade up for, and Zaire Smith, who will be in his rookie season this year as well after missing last year out of Texas Tech there with the injury. A couple defensive athletes that will really be interesting to watch. A couple of guys that I'll have my eye on throughout all of Summer League. But the Pistons, after that, will play at least one more game, possibly a consolation game if all does not go well. But if all goes well, maybe the playoff tournament. And that's pretty much that for Summer League. But yeah, Sean Sweeney taking the reins of the roster for Summer League yet again. Bruce Brown, Svi Mykhailiuk, and Khyri Thomas, they're guys that are just lumped together and should be, as they're all going into their second years, all second-round picks from last year, all guys that certainly at least one, probably two, maybe even all three, will get real minutes for the Pistons in the real roster, real season coming up later this year. So I'm interested to see who is stepping up out of that group. Bruce Brown is reportedly going to play a lot of point guard during Summer League. We'll see if Khyri Thomas is really able to assert himself, because he looks like a nice kind of piece that could possibly be an NBA player for a number of years. But it really would be kind of nice to see him assert himself a little bit offensively and defensively and stand out from the crowd a little bit, especially against a lot of these, you know, barely pros that you're going up against in Summer League. And then Svi Mykhailiuk is a guy that, if you listen to this podcast, you know I have high hopes and high expectations for in Las Vegas. He was a second-team All-Summer League player last year. I expect him to really step up in a big way for the Pistons during Summer League. And, of course, the really big questions come with the draft picks from this year. Sekou Doumbouya, we'll expect some flashes from him. We'll expect some a guy looking like he's 18 years old out there, because that's what he is. So maybe not huge expectations for his overall game, but we want to see those flashes. We want to see that athleticism, and we want to see if he can knock down a couple shots as well. And you know, certainly the ceiling is high. Certainly if he wants to surprise us and come in right away and be a real big impact player at Summer League, that would be something that would be delightful for Pistons fans who want to get excited about this upcoming season. The biggest mystery might be Davidas Servetus. My expectations for him at Summer League are pretty low and tempered, as he's a second-round pick who hasn't seen this kind of athleticism up close, 18 years old. He's 19, turned 19 a couple days before the draft. So Lithuanian who, you know, we'll see. Certainly anything that you can get from him in Summer League in terms of positive looks for the future would be something that would be a bonus for the Pistons this year. And then which of the veterans? First of all, does Jordan Bone join the Summer League roster? I would imagine that when that trade becomes official on Saturday, that he'll be on the court shortly after that for the Pistons in Las Vegas. And then who of the other guys steps up? The undrafted guys, Lewis King out of Oregon, Dante Hall out of Alabama. A couple of interesting names there. Does any of these guys jump up and establish themselves as real parts of the Pistons franchise and organization going forward? We will see if that happens. Then the Spartans, Matt Costello and Matt McQuaid as well. Those guys playing a little hometown heat for the Pistons there. We'll see if they have any moments with the Pistons in Summer League, and if they're able to maybe step up and grab a spot in the Grand Rapids Drive or establish their careers better for Europe or whatever they want to do or hope to do with their careers after Las Vegas Summer League. But I'm excited for it. I know if you're like me and you're an NBA nerd, you're kind of excited for it and not afraid to admit it about the Pistons starting Summer League action at 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon. But that'll do it for the show today. This is Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying, hey, why not? Happy Independence Day to you guys. Enjoy it. Enjoy your time with your family and your friends. Be safe, of course. And, you know, enjoy a little America celebration out there. But thanks for listening. Talk to you guys early next week.